though. It's short, it's possession, it's owning the football as Melbourne has tonight. Right from the start, what a night it's been. Slight concern, the injury to Stephen May, but other than that, it's all smiles from those that didn't quite make the team. And these are seconds to enjoy as Melbourne fans have really had this opportunity. 10 seconds left. They have dominated a preliminary final. The ghosts of the past seem to have disappeared. This really feels different. This feels like Melbourne's time. A hell of a win for the Demons. They're into the grand final for the first time in 21 years. Oh, what glorious times lie ahead for the D supporters. Well, there's tears from Adam Tomlinson. He's one of the hard luck stories. Nathan Jones will be the other obvious one. But what a performance tonight, Jared.
Beaming smiles, aren't they? Well, they'd all be beaming smiles. A lot of people on the text machine enjoying it. Some still in disbelief, even though it's been believable for about an hour and a half. But you do feel sorry, I've got to say, for guys like Tomlinson and Jones. An incredibly different story, Jones, given his heritage at the club, and the likes of Melksham, who was brought across by Goody. They're not absolutely out of it at the moment, but they're a long, long, long way back, as we all know.
So they led by 27 at quarter time, 29 at half time, 78 at three quarter time, and 83 at the close. 19-11, 125 Melbourne over Geelong, 6-6-42. There was 58,599 in to see Max Gawn kick five goals, four in the third quarter. It was really something. Pickett kicked three. He lurked all night. Fritsch and Brown kicked two each, and there were singles to Harms, Petrarca, McDonald, Neil Bullen and Sparrow. Throw in two for Spargo as well. Two for Jeremy Cameron and one each to Stanley, Smith, Hawkins and Myers.
The only other bittersweet part about it, Jared, is it's going to be in Perth and not at the MCG, but that's just the situation that the Melbourne fans are in. There's not much they can do about it.
No, they can't, but there seems to be a hell of a lot of Melbourne fans there, but clearly a bit of blow for them who'd love to see it. But as I've said to a few of my mates and brothers, this is not a one-year window for Melbourne, and hopefully we're all back to normal next year. But I can't remember seeing a better game from Max Gawn. It was an incredibly tense moment, particularly early. They've been at this ground before in a prelim final and got absolutely embarrassed, and tonight they did the embarrassing, and we look forward to 2 weeks' time, and we look forward to tomorrow night. It's hard to see the Dogs beating Melbourne, given that they're injured. I mean, they can still win tomorrow and muster an amazing performance, but Port Adelaide will look at that and they'll know that they will have to play an incredible brand of football. If Melbourne brings their best, they're going to have to bring an incredible brand of football to take away the premiership. And that's why it's such an exciting potential grand final. Melbourne are at their very best, maybe able to create history since 1964. And Port Adelaide and the Western Bulldogs have got their own history to write as well.
So all the additional players have raced out onto the ground and embraced with their teammates. Geelong, they leave the scene, and you wonder how long they leave the scene for. There's no hiding from an obliteration like that, and no. They've got a few questions to face up to about what they choose to do next, let alone what they're capable of doing next.
Yeah, I was of the view before tonight that you have another throw at the stumps, and I reckon Chris Scott's, you know, absolute competitive nature will be that, but maybe Stephen Hawkins won't be. Maybe he sees it and says no. If that's the best we can do, and it's hard to see them breaching the gap with what they've got, then it's time to go back to the draft, and it's time to, you know, let a few blokes go and rebuild this club. And whether I do it with Chris Scott or with somebody fresh, they're all the decisions that they need to make. But there'll be a lot of analysing, a lot of introspection. The microscope will be out, and Steve Hocking's going to have to make some big calls along with Chris Scott.
It's probably a good time to have the fresh set of eyes come in.
Yeah.
Someone who hasn't been part of all the decisions that have been made to just coldly analyse. You're 83 points short of the standard in a preliminary final.
And part of what you're identifying about their lack of foot skills, Jared, is they haven't been able to get... They have chosen, not too largely, yeah. not to access top-end talent but in the traditional manner. Now, history says like they've done an awesome job to be able to stay up there, as you've said, but most premierships are built to, on a, at least three or four top high-end draft picks.
Yeah, they've got the high-end draft picks. The trouble is that they're all sort of 30, 31, 32. And as you said, they had a choice last year when they got Jeremy Cameron to go back to the draft with three first-rounders. They elected not to. They've still got some second-rounders out of that trade. But, you know, it was all built on we're going to win the flag this year or next year. Sorry, last year, this year with Jeremy Cameron. And possibly next year they would have seen as their window. But their window would appear now to be well and truly closed. And it's hard to see them. You know, they're going to have to make some tough calls right now.
They're limited, though, in what they can do to some degree, aren't they?
Well, of course they are. I mean, they can't rebuild overnight. But as...
They've just re-signed Cam Guthrie for 4 years.
Yeah,
so.
But you've still got to be competitive. Yeah, I mean, you just can't throw everybody out. So, look, they're going to still be... You know, they may even play finals next year. They probably will play finals. But how hard you cut is going to be a really interesting challenge for them there. I just think, and I've said this a number of times, I've always been of the view that they lack absolute polish to win a flag. Now, they could argue they were 21 points up last year, and that's fair enough. They could have pinched that one. And they've been cruel twice by Dusty, really. Prelim final 1 year, grand final the next. So they've done an amazing job to put themselves into a position after winning grand finals, but they haven't done it, so it's time to start again. But right now, all the story is about the Demons, and they've gone through the pain, they've gone through the rebuilding, but they've got everything right over the last last incarnation with Paul Roos. From that minute he walked into the place, it's been a stepwise process. They've taken a couple of steps back, but they've eventually got it all right, and now they... Four quarters away from ultimately killing off that hoodoo.
83-point winners, Melbourne, in this preliminary final. What in their game most appeals to you? I think everything is finely tuned.
Yeah.
That part is clear.
Well, what I love about their game is they don't lack for contest, but they haven't lacked for contest for 5 years. That's been ingrained in their psyche and their DNA. But I love their skill level under pressure. I mean, this is what Geelong lacks. Geelong, you bring the pressure to them, their balls go to ground. They're not instinctive handballers. They're not instinctive kickers under pressure. The other thing I love is that they're just the hardest running side in the competition right now. So there's only one side that's capable of beating them, I think, of the two that are remaining, and that's Port Adelaide. But if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to, A, bring super pressure, and B, run. And I'm not sure either of the sides left have got the running power to do it.
So the Demons have been to all portions of the crowd, and now Max Gawn leads them off and leads them to a two-week wait for the 2021 grand final. Oh, to win a prelim like that for all the pain that's been endured, is that sets a whole lot of things right.
And the footy gods were there, and we all thought that there was a real problem with Stephen May, and yet it appears to be no problem at all. I mean, he's smiling, he's happy. No one's, he's got no ice on. That's a great indicator.
So we'll be with the Demons for this song in a few moments' time. The embraces are long, and will they should be in such a euphoric moment. It's the staff, all of staff, huddled in around the players and those who have played and those who haven't, all to be part of this. Melbourne victorious in the preliminary final by 83 points. We'll wrap it up. We'll hear from the D's. We'll run you through all the categories shortly. This is the post-game show for Rainbird. Rainbird Smarter Irrigation, the intelligent use of water. And for Dan Murphy's, kick off the footy finals at Dan Murphy's.
That quarter on AFL Nation was for Mate Communications, award-winning Aussie service mobile plans from $20.
6:42 in the first preliminary final in front of 59,000 over in the West. The post-game show for Rainbird, Rainbird Smarter Irrigation, the intelligent use of water, and for Dan Murphy's kick off the footy finals at Dan Murphy's. Before we launch into the categories, which will tell a good story of the game, here's Max Gorn on Channel 7 at the final siren.
Congratulations, Maxie. I can see the emotion in your eyes that you've just booked your spot in the 2021 AFL Grand Final in 2 weeks' time. How do you sum up the feeling?
Yeah, that was a pretty long wait. 2 weeks in quarantine, in a little cage, little facility in Joondalup up there. And we just really wanted to come out here and play. It was a very, very nerve-wracking 2 weeks. The rivalry that we have with Geelong, the last 5 games have been genuinely crazy. And I'm ecstatic for this group. It means so much to the supporters, means so much to everyone back in Melbourne that are doing it tough. We got staff members back at home, we got family back at home, and this is for them, yeah.
Let's delve into that a little bit more, though. As you said, your supporters, your members, your family at home, your past players and coaches. 57 years is a very long time, and next week you'll have the opportunity to break that drought. So,
yeah, we did. We've won. We're one from two. This Perth hub, we want to be two from two. We want to be able to win the grand final, which is next week. That's what the target is. Obviously, this is nice. We've got 50,000 Melbourne people here,
yeah.
And this is really nice, but we haven't broken the drought until we do something in 2 weeks, and that's really what we're looking forward to.
For you personally, Ruckturn Rover, 5 goals, Maxie. It's not a bad night to put out one of your career best performances, is it?
I haven't done that before. I'm not normally a goal kicker, and got on the end of some of them. Like that stoppage goal, I probably won't be able to do ever again in my life. So, standing performances, James Harnes was super today, Angus Brayshaw. Like, this is why I play footy now, watching these boys that didn't get a gig out. Nathan Jones is running out.
Yeah.
It's just, that's why we play footy, and only 22 of us get to play in 2 weeks' time, but we represent that whole group.
Yeah. Congratulations, Max. I'll let you go and soak this all in, but we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks, Ab.
Max Gorn there on Channel 7 in the aftermath. 83-point winners over the Cats. And he's such a popular figure within the game. And he'll be one of the two captains.
Yes, and he'd be just walking on cloud nine right at the present time. But having never been there, I can't give you a personal insight. But he'd be walking on cloud nine, but knowing that you can fall off the cloud,
yep,
if you don't get the job done in the grand final. So they'll enjoy the moment. It's so weird having this week off.
I was going to say, it could decide who wins the premiership, yep, as to how well either team
one
handles
side handles it and one side doesn't handle it. But to be fair to Melbourne, Melbourne have handled everything that's been thrown at them this year. I mean, people jumped off them in round 16 or 17 because they had a couple of close losses. And yet they have been able to, you know, just steady themselves, get back to business, and they're now playing as good a football as this club's played for a long, long time.
All right, so let's work through some of our categories. The Furphy unbelievable moment for Furphy Refreshing Ale, born in Geelong, unbelievable. Which one of Maxie's moments?
Well, he's had a few. I think it was probably, I'm tossing up between the goal and the run from outside 50 and the one around the corner from the stoppage. I think I'll go for the one round the corner from the stoppage.
Furphy Refreshing Ale, born in Geelong, unbelievable. Okay, so the other one can be the goal of the game for instant windscreens.
Yep.
Broken windscreen, call instant windscreens, 132-444. It's very rare a player has first, second and third in the goal of the game, but he has every bit, yep, of that.
Everyone covered, Max. Well played.
MEGT Rookie of the Day, your local apprenticeship experts. Right from the start, Jake Bowie looked like he belonged in this prelim.
He did. He probably trailed off a little bit in the second half, but I mean, Jordan's talked about what you look for in a recruit, and I mean, ultimately, I would look for a decision maker first up. If you're not a good decision maker, you can have the best skills in the world, and you can be horrible. And if you are a good decision maker and you only got average skills, well, you can work on your skills. It's hard to work on being a smarter footballer. Most really smart footballers are smart at 8. And prove it and just get slightly better as they mature.
MEGT supporting employers and apprentices for over 40 years. So some moments to sort of delineate here. The crucial moment for Nufarm Australian through and through. The first quarter in the five goals that were scored in a row. So Geelong kicked the first and then Melbourne just progressively put a stamp on it through Harms and Petrarca and Spargo and Neil Bullen and Ben Brown were their goal kickers in that first term.
So you're looking for the...
So in there somewhere, like the, it was over at quarter time.
It was.
We all felt it. Yeah. If you were watching it, you would have felt it as well.
I think what that shows, that collective of goal kickers showed where the difference was, and where Geelong are miles off the top two sides, which are going to be Port Adelaide and Melbourne, I suspect. And that is ground ball in the forward line. They just have not got the polish, the class of the ground ball. Now, forget about all the rest. Even average sides can get the ball inside forward 50, about the same amount as the top sides. But if you haven't got the skill of the Cozzy Pickets of the world, the Rosies of the world, and the Robbie Gray, etc., I mean, that's the great strength of Port Adelaide. Not Charlie Dixon in the air, not Marshall, and not Georgiades if he's lucky enough to get there, all Adams. It's those super talents on the ground level. And Melbourne's got it in spades, and they can put their midfielders there as well.
The tackler of the game for Toro, count on Toro to get the job done. Selwood laid 8 tackles, Oliver laid 7, so they led the way on that front. The Bendix Brakes, big moments, confidence stopping Bendix Brakes. Cozzy Pickett threatened all night, he kicked 3. His first couple were amazing. Probably the middle one where he flew, pinched a mark that he had no right to and kicked a goal.
He's an extraordinary talent. He's the new Cyril. He's only a baby. But he's exciting, and heaven help you if you're lining up on him next in 2 weeks' time. Jeez, I hate that, in 2 weeks' time.
Yes. Put your foot down with confidence, Bendix Brakes. The toughest player for Hard Yakka, legendary gear.
I'm going with Jack Viney tonight. I thought he was he was brilliant from start to finish. He's he's eaten footballs for breakfast since he was a baby. In fact, he probably did it in the womb. And he's continued to be just a great player for them.
Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends. The power player ratings for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. Gawn, 145. Viney, 119. Salem, 111. Oliver, 108. Petrarca, 106. They all led the way ahead of Selwood and Dangerfield. Unmissable moments for Drinkwise. Choose to Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. 8 third quarter goals will do that. And the first 5 or 6 just came in no time. Mm. Amazing burst. The votes, their stats will be for safety steel sheds designed to save, built to last.
I'm going to give one vote to Petrarca. I'm going to give 2 votes to Jack Viney, and I'm going to give 3 votes to Max Gawn for one of the best ruckman's games I've ever seen.
Yep, there's no one will argue with that. Viney, 34, Petrarca, 32, Salem, 29. Max Gawn had 19 disposals. He sat out most of the last quarter.
Yep.
It was quite phenomenal what he was able to do.
Disposals are an interesting analogy, an interesting piece of evidence as to whether you play well. Now, you can't play well most of the time if you're a midfielder without the ball. But if you look at the damage that Petrarca does with his 32 versus the damage that Smith's done with his 26 or Guthrie with his 26 or even Dangerfield for that matter, who won the ball well but didn't use it all that well, you get a sense that there's more to footy than just winning the football. You've got to do something with it.